Scientists say there's a 1 in 3 chance of a powerful earthquake hitting the Pacific Northwest in the next 50 years. Residents of the Cascadia subduction zone are advised to stockpile 2 weeks' worth of water, food, and medical supplies should the big one strike. But as KLCC's Brian Bull reports, economic disparities already divide those who can readily prepare and those who will struggle to.
On a cool, bright morning, locals visit a dozen tents at Eugene's Park Blocks for the city's Emergency Preparedness Fair. Officials and vendors are covering everything from portable toilets to retrofitting homes against earthquakes.
So, the house probably.
So that's why you have your bolts on top of there?
Among those Eugenians prepped and ready is Scott Volstedt.
We have 60 gallons of water. We have freeze-dried food. We have a radio. We have toilet system. Know how to turn the water off, know how to turn the gas off.
From a nearby shelter, a man who identifies as homeless watches with several others. He won't give his name, but says he's taken some free materials from the preparedness fair. It'll complement his own readiness kit, which has been part of his daily life for years.
Emergency blankets and extra food and water, waterproof matches and trash bags that we carry. Not only can you use it for a park if need be, you can inflate it so that you can cross a body of water, or you can cut it in half and use it as roofing material underneath brush for making a temporary shelter. People on the street tend to be pretty, I guess you could say, prepared.
A 2018 report by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development shows Oregon with the second highest number of unsheltered homeless people after California. And census data says 13% of Oregonians live in poverty. While it's challenging enough for middle and upper income residents to cover even 2 weeks' worth of water and food per person, it can be far more so for the working poor and unhoused. Sarah Rich is an analyst with Echo Northwest, a regional economic consulting firm.
There are other things, if you're really thinking about disaster preparedness, that you want to be thinking about. And these are even bigger ticket items. Should I have earthquake insurance? Should I be making retrofits to my house? Should I be paying to secure the house to the foundation?
Those additional purchases can cost thousands. Rich says for Oregon's less advantaged residents, the time and money simply aren't there.
And so when the event happens, they have fewer resources that they have personally amassed to get through it.
For example, Rich says, renters may find their building damaged enough to be condemned should their landlord lack the capital to rebuild it for habitation again. More well-to-do disaster victims can often leave an affected area due to their financial means and social networks. But destitute people are usually stuck in an area left economically poorer, as seen in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Relief groups and charities are aware of the problems and working to be proactive.
There's many creative things that we can do to make our societies much more resilient. But it really means that you have to take everything that we have, human and otherwise, as a resource.
Last month, Terry McDonald, executive director of St. Vincent de Paul, spoke at a resiliency fair. Their housing projects, like one on River Road, are being designed to work off the grid with its own power and water. Yet McDonald warns that once disaster strikes, volunteers will be affected and unable to readily staff places like the Egan Warming Centers.
Always in a disaster, you're going to end up with a period of time where there will be less because of the normal supply chains and the normal activities are curtailed. So there would be less and there would be more demand, which would then probably put people that are in a precarious life situation even further into a problem.
That's what our homeless source encountered some years back. He was living in the streets of Tacoma during a lengthy blackout.
That week was literal hell for me. Even at the missions, there were so many new people there because not being able to have power, so that meant not being able to go to work, not being able to buy food because you're not getting money. I was getting next to nothing.
Response to a Cascadian disaster would be coordinated towards everyone, assure officials. Kevin Holman, emergency manager for the city of Eugene, says he's been in touch with the Whitebird Clinic and other agencies.
We look at this as a whole community planning process. We know that we're going to be without resources for some period of time. When we eventually get those resources here, they'd be available to everybody. We're looking at setting up places throughout the city where they could come and access water, for example, bedding, meals, maybe medical, things like that.
In time, aid from all levels of available government would arrive, as would donations from across the U.S. Sarah Rich of Echo Northwest says there are preventative measures to offset the personal and economic toll before a disaster. This includes paying workers a livable wage and building more affordable housing.
If you can focus on policies that address social inequality or economic disparity now, you're solving that problem today, and you're making your community, you know, the individuals who are experiencing that kind of economic disparity, more able to cope with it later. So it's a double benefit.
Enacting those policies takes time. Meanwhile, individual efforts continue.
So over here are the empty containers that I have yet to fill.
Inside his Eugene house, Cameron Yee says he's got rice, beans, Spam, and powdered milk stashed away for his family of four. These rations will need refreshing now and then, given their shelf life. But the consequences of not preparing makes the case for Yee.
It's an expense. On top of all the preparation, that financial aspect is an additional challenge. But you could rationalize it in like an insurance policy. If you can spread things out over time, do small things month to month, that will certainly help.
Yee says well before his provisions hit their expiration date, he'll donate them to Food for Lane County. It'll help those who are currently in distress and may stand to be more so during a regional crisis. Brian Bull, KLCC News.
Funding for our Resilience and Oregon's Natural Resources series comes from the University of Oregon Wayne Moore Center for Law and Politics.